From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in La Crosse. Thanks for listening today. We're talking about resources that are available in our listening area for older adults. And we're talking mostly, not so much, this may come up, but we're not so much people who are transitioning out of their longtime homes into an assisted environment or a nursing environment or something like that. But we're really talking about people who find that their abilities might be changing, maybe some of their interests as well. What resources are available for them, either assistive resources or opportunities to become involved in different things in the community? Joining us are three guests that I would like to introduce. We have Amy Brzezinka, who's the programs coordinator for the City of La Crosse Department of Parks, Recreation, and Forestry. Amy, welcome to Newsmakers.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Carissa Pagel-Smith is with us as well. Carissa is the director of the ADRC in La Crosse County. That's the Aging and... I didn't write down the acronym, Carissa. Help me. What is it? ADRC?
Yeah, the Aging and Disability Resource Center.
Perfect. And you're the director of the one in La Crosse County. There are others in other counties. So if we're saying something that you think, well, that's only in La Crosse County, well, there's probably an ADRC near you. Give them a call. See if that resource exists in your part of town, too. And we also have with us today Lee Lorenz, who is with Home Safety Innovations, and that's a very interesting company that helps people modify certain aspects of their homes as their level of ability changes and makes them safer and more practical to live in. Lee, welcome to Newsmakers.
Thanks for having me.
Let's just kick off with you know, the thing that is hard for everybody to face, and that is changes in our ability as we get older. Some of those changes maybe happen so gradually that we don't necessarily even notice them. Amy, what do people need to be looking out for when you think, well, maybe I don't hear as well as I used to, or maybe I don't move as fast as I used to?
Yeah, I think what I really enjoy working with Parks and Rec and the programs that we do is, I mean, these are the conversations we have in our groups. When we have coping skills group, we're talking about coping with life. We're talking about changes with aging. And a lot of the people that come to our groups are, they're all living at home. Some are living, they're single. They've never had children, maybe. So they're putting a plan together and they're trying to understand what resources are available. They're kind of helping each other, sharing tips and ideas, and really talking about how important it is to have a plan in place when you're living at home alone.
You talked about having a plan and all the different lifestyle things that can influence that plan. I suppose people, you talked about a lot of people being single, maybe not having children. At that age, you could be dealing with, I mean, it seems more likely that somebody may have lost loved ones that used to be part of that system, part of that support system, who maybe aren't there anymore.
And that's true. And so then there's the danger of feeling isolated and feeling disconnected. And so that's why coming to a group like that, you know, a plan might look like, do I wear a emergency bracelet or necklace that I can push in case I fall at home? Do I have a neighbor I could call in case of an emergency? Is my home set up safely so that I don't trip and could have a fall? We're talking about all those different kinds of things. And also emotions of feeling alone, feeling scared. This world is moving pretty fast. And so we talk through a lot of those feelings as well.
Carissa, from your perspective, these people are getting to a point where in some kind of ways, it's just, things are just not as familiar as they used to be. And life starts to feel a little bit uncomfortable. What are sort of red flags that either people should be looking for, or I'm also thinking about that loved ones should be looking for on behalf of some of the older adults in our lives?
Yeah, I would say we oftentimes get calls around the holidays to the extent where families start noticing someone perhaps not being engaged, maybe not being themselves. To the extent where it just seems a little off, right? So it's a matter of just kind of being aware of your daily routine, maybe yourself, you're disengaging, you're not as active. Those are probably all signs, as Amy had mentioned, of maybe being isolated and needing to connect with another person and or establishing a group activity like Amy's had mentioned or has available. Perhaps there's some health concerns or considerations. I mean, it really is such a unique scenario for every person that I would say too, it's just important to have that conversation at some point to have that level of assessment. And what you see with one person can very well be different for another person. So it is sometimes hard to really identify what that looks like. That it is in the ADRC here, we do really encourage, and I know it can be tough to really just make that phone call and have a conversation. Assessing and determining, how we might be able to help in some fashion, identifying that for that person is going to be unique, for every person and every family.
You all offer so many services. I want to put you on the spot a little bit, though, Carissa. And don't worry, Amy will get to you as well. What is maybe a service that you offer that people might not have expected, or something that is that might sound a little bit out of the ordinary, but you think is just a really cool thing that you're able to offer this service to people?
Yeah, I think what is perhaps unknown is that the ADRCs even exist, right? So we're a free community for our resources that we provide unbiased, neutral support, whether it be a phone call, whether or not someone walks in. There's no strings attached. It could be a real brief one and done type of 5, 10 minute conversation, or it could be a lengthier conversation where you do take a deeper dive into someone's long-term care needs. Maybe we are doing some of that emergency planning. Maybe we are talking about how to connect with a social network, and we're referring to different agencies or other programs in our community. So I think it again varies on the individual and what their needs are, but I do believe the ADRC is our community's best kept secret. I think people oftentimes when they're connected just really do realize how easy it is, how safe it feels, it's comfortable. Our staff truly are experts in anything aging or living with a disability. That what I'd like people to know is just to give us a call. No question's a silly question. If we don't have the answer, we are going to find it. That our staff really do have such compassion and care for the individuals that do call or stop in. That again, depending on that person's need and their interest, it could again be a couple minutes, it could be a lengthier conversation. And we also do pride ourselves in doing a lot of home visits. So seeing people in their environment, checking out their space, offering suggestions. Our goal is to help people maintain their independence in their setting of choice for as long as possible.
Amy, what about you? In terms of stuff that you think is sort of sneakily awesome that you get to be involved in offering that people might not expect?
I think a lot of what we do is awesome. I really love our collaboration because if we're in a group, if I'm in a group with someone and they are talking about resources in the area, then I'll call the ADRC and I'll have somebody come out and join our group and help educate on what's happening in our community. And so we have a lot of collaboration. We have a lot of great services in La Crosse County. The ADRC, we have, I work also closely with Extension, University of Wisconsin Extension, a couple of the programs, and the college students. And I also do dementia-friendly programming and work closely with the ADRC on some of that. We do a lot of programs for family caregivers, education, supports. I facilitate a Parkinson's support group once a month. So I get to do a lot of fun, creative support and education programs and collaborate with the community.
Lee, tell me about we've heard about, how people begin to notice these changes in their lives. When do you usually start hearing from people who don't navigate their homes as readily as they used to?
Well, it can come from a numerous different areas. It can come from kids, it can come from family, friends, or it can come from the individuals or spouses. Sometimes we're getting it preventatively, which is what we want to see. We want to see it before major changes start happening. Maybe just the minor changes where I usually do stairs pretty briskly, but now it's taking a little longer to make those steps. But we hear from every facet of life as far as tiny changes to major changes. Sometimes we're hearing back when it's already, oh, well, a person cannot even get in and out of their home anymore because they have 3 or 4 steps, or they can no longer bathe because they cannot get over the tub. So we hear from everybody and we hear from every different angle. The goal is to try to get it done sooner than later so that we're not leading to more falls, to more trips, to more injuries or hospitalizations. If you can have it more preventatively too, we're also reducing the time that someone has to stay in a transitional care facility. So if someone does have a fall and break their hip, they might have a more feasible home to get back into if they do these things preemptively versus having to sit in a nursing home for 4 months to wait for the fracture to heal because they're not set up appropriately.
Now, some people look around their house and they think, well, if I need to replace a traditional, you know, bathtub and shower with something that is more ability friendly, that is maybe a walk-in thing or something like that, or something that has an installed place to sit down. Obviously, professionals need to come and do that. Are there things that people might be able to handle that, you know, themselves, or maybe get a loved one who's a weekend warrior, like smaller changes that people should be looking at as sort of maybe a first step, depending on what their level of ability is?
Absolutely. So simple things, you know, that are the more simple construction weekend warrior things would be things such as grab bars or hand railings. Those are some of the first things you might see someone using steps or trying to step over a tub wall, and they just look like they're reaching for something. They don't even know that they're doing it, but if someone watches them perform those tasks, they can see that they look for that little cue or that little safety device to hold on to. So those are some of the things that are easier to do. Once you get into the more like roll-in showers and different things like that, it's a little more time consumption, a little more detail. But there are medical equipment, transfer benches, shower chairs, and various different things that they can just get and provide that can help with some of those things as well. We try to educate not only the client, but also the caregiver on these things so that they can be better as a whole and know how to use them correctly.
Carissa, back to the ADRC. I'm interested in knowing, like, when people call, they get in touch, they want some information or maybe some help from the ADRC. Is yours like a communal place where people go, or is it a thing where your staff comes out to see people and assess their environment like that? Or is it like, do people come to the ADRC and like go to a program and hang out, or are you working with other parts of the community to make things like that happen?
Yeah, so we do have a lobby service in the Health and Human Service building. So we do have resources that are available, and individuals can come and speak to a staff person. No appointments necessary at any time. For the most part, though, I would say our staff do go into the community, whether they're meeting at a designated public place, a community center, a library, hospital, or a lot of home visits, right? I think, again, seeing someone in their home environment to offer suggestions and support, meet with their family, friends, neighbor, whomever that might be, their connected network is critical. And you do understand the client perhaps better seeing them in their environment. I would like to say that, the service like Lee offers is one of those things that the ADRC can help connect someone to. Sometimes people just don't necessarily know where to start. And again, having that conversation and having staff to be able to offer that as a recommendation. And if needed, our ADRC is integrated with our aging unit, which does mean that we do have some extra funding that is available that we might be able to help pay for some of those types of services. It's just kind of one of those things that we like to see too, that maybe it's a stepping stone for someone. We do see a lot of older adults who do come to us with fear, rightfully so. It's not easy sometimes to ask for help, and there's a stigma because we are located in a Health and Human Service building. It's a governmental entity. But again, it is an opportunity for people to potentially try a service. And again, let us pay for that. Let us help you get connected potentially, depending on what the scenario is. I also like to say too, and sometimes this is one of those aha moments that people don't necessarily know, but majority of those that we do see privately pay for their services. So actually only about 20% of our clients do move on to Wisconsin's long-term care funding. And so again, that's kind of a stigma, right? Sometimes people don't think that they're financially eligible. That's not true. So the majority of the folks that do walk through our door, they're looking just for that connection and that referral to a service, do end up paying for it themselves. And again, it's just an opportunity to have a conversation and receive that referral. So a service like Lee, it's a great organization that we do refer to often, and in some cases help someone try it out.
What about Parks and Rec? I kind of have some idea how that works in terms of kids sign up for baseball or, you know, summer basketball camp or something like that. But the adult-oriented programs I'm less familiar with. Amy, talk about what kinds of things that you can sign up to do through Parks and Rec, for particularly those things that might interest older adults.
Yeah, there's a lot to do. We have a Connect guide that comes out quarterly, so the new one will be coming out at the end of April. And if you flip through it, there's a whole section for adult enrichment, adult fitness, there's creative arts, there's tons of music in the park, senior excursions where you can go out. I think they're going to go see Hamilton.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. So there's a lot of fun things to do. I think that's unique too. I think most people don't think that we're doing that much for the 55 and better population, but we are. There is so much. You can come play bingo. We do a connect to nature, so we talk about nature and the environment. They're just, you know, lifelong learning types of programs.
So do you have, let me just throw, I'm going to throw an example out, and I'm just thinking about that one little thing. But I'm wondering how often you have programs that are maybe stuff that other age levels might take, but are specifically geared toward people who just don't quite, they need it happening at a pace that's more approachable for them. Like, for instance, when I was a kid, I took tennis lessons through Park and Rec. Now, you know, someone who's a bit older, as you said, 55 or better, or somebody who's not as fast as they used to be, might still be interested in doing something like that, but they just can't do it at the super active competitive level that maybe they used to. I don't know if you specifically offer like tennis for older adults, but like, are there things like that where there are specific activities, walking, hiking, sports of any kind, something like that, that are modified for people in that age bracket?
Yeah, I can think of, there's probably more than what I can think of right now, but we do yoga, a yoga program. There's chair fitness, chair yoga. We work with the ADRC to offer Staying Active Together, which is twice a week. And that's I would say modified, but they do a good workout. They sweat in there, but they use weights and bands, and they have, the main thing is they're having fun too. So they're going to do their exercise, and there's so much socialization and laughter and just teasing each other, which is so great to hear. And we do have a huge group that's newly retired that I've seen come into our Community Connection Center saying, I just retired, and this has been in the last couple of years, and I need to keep busy. So they're looking for exercise. They're looking for art programs. We have the wood carvers there with us on Tuesdays. They're looking for fun ways to connect to other people.
I suppose you must see a lot of people who come in to one program or another and just say, I'm retired, and so I finally have time to try the thing that I never had time to try before.
Yes, and some say, well, my wife kicked me out of the house and told me I need to keep busy. I need to find something to do. So we get a lot of that.
So you've met my dad.
Yeah. He's a nice guy. No.
That's right. Amy Brzezinka is is the programs coordinator for the City of La Crosse Parks, Rec, and Forestry Department. Carissa Pagel-Smith is with ADRC of La Crosse County, and Lee Lorenz is with Home Safety Innovations, and we're talking on Newsmakers today. If you'd like to get in touch with our program, you can always reach us via email, newsmakers@wpr.org. It's newsmakers@wpr.org. We'll take a quick time out and be back. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. From Wisconsin Public Radio, it's Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in La Crosse. We're talking today about resources that are available for older adults. For, as our guest Amy said, the 55 and better category of people, and particularly as you get well into retirement and maybe find that your or your loved one's abilities are slightly less than they used to be, and what resources are available to assist or to enrich your life while you're still living in your home. Amy Berzinka is with us. Carissa Pagel-Smith is with us, and Lee Lorenz is with us as well. And our conversation continues. I want to go back to Lee. I can imagine somebody walking through some of the older homes in La Crosse that people are trying to stay in and in the other surrounding areas and going, oh, look at all these stairs and all these different rooms and everything. I'm going to need to remodel my entire house. Like, how big a project is it usually for the people that you serve?
Well, it really depends on the individual. And I think that's the biggest and most important part of all this is there's not a one size fits all. We usually go into people's houses to do these evaluations and see how they're moving in their environment, looking at what they have going on medically and what the prognosis of that is and how their function might change over the coming years. That really determines what we recommend and how we recommend to do things. A lot of people just want us to tell them, oh yeah, do a bathroom or do that. Anyone can tell you to do something like that. We look at, is there any way we can change their physical abilities to match their environment? When we realize that is not no longer met, then we look at any kind of aids, adaptive aids that are relatively inexpensive to help move on to that process. Then from there, we start moving on to more environmental modifications. And they can be as simple as hand railings or grab bars. Or as you said, some of these big houses with a lot of steps, sometimes we need ramps, stair lifts inside. There's just a lot of different options. But it always starts at the individual, and we take it from there in relation to their environment, not starting at the environment, going back to the individual.
You know, obviously you can't quote a fixed cost here on the radio, but how do people approach something like that? We're talking about people who are retired, many of them on a fixed income. Their earning days are behind them. They're going to be concerned about how much this is going to cost.
Absolutely. And that's where we try to start at what is absolutely necessary and try to prioritize things for individuals. Obviously different things, bathroom remodeling, you know, ramps and different things cost thousands of dollars. Grab bars and stuff, I mean, can be as little as $50 to $100, depending on what they need. So we try to prioritize those things and also try to offer people different rent-to-own options and different things to trial things out to see if it's going to work. Sometimes we have individuals who they're not sure if they need to make that change to a different living situation or if they can maybe handle everything at their home. That's where we offer some of the rental services such as rental ramps and different things so they can trial it out on a month-by-month basis and determine if it's right for them and if they want to stick more money into their house or if it's maybe not the right fit and they need to move on.
Carissa, I was talking to someone I know and they were talking about a loved one that they help out with different things, some grocery shopping and some other things. But they just made kind of an offhand comment about how, you know, this is a person who doesn't get out a lot and doesn't drive anymore, but still lives in their home. And they just thought, you know, if somebody could stop by and talk to them for 30 or 45 minutes once a week, like that would just lift. I mean, it would be a real game changer for them. Are there programs like where somebody can request or get involved in either receiving or providing something as simple as a conversation?
Yeah, there are some agencies that provide what we call companionship. So that is provided by local home care agencies. Cooley Region RSVP is also a group of retired individuals. They have a friendly phone call program, which is a really neat program that they could sign up for a phone call at their frequency, whether it be once a day or once a week, once a month. That's a neat program. Here at the ADRC, we offer a home delivered meal program. So if someone truly is unable to leave their home and they are eligible for the program, we could deliver a meal. And I know it's limited, but it still is critical to have a very brief conversation. And at the very least, while we can't guarantee it, it really is kind of like a welfare check too, right? You get to know the individuals in which you're delivering that meal to and ensuring that they're okay on a daily basis and reporting any concerns or changes to loved ones or family members. An emergency contact. So there are a variety of different options. Sometimes local universities have different programs that are available too. But it is one thing that I think in our community we could do better at doing is because there's often a lot of calls for exactly what you said, Ezra, in regards to I want someone to come and check in and or just hang out for a period of time. So that's something I know our community could do better. But there are some options that do exist at this point, but they're somewhat limited.
Amy, you were talking earlier about the danger of people just becoming isolated. What about, and I know Park and Rec can't just go to every single person's house all the time, but what about those people who want to participate in some sort of connection and they just don't get to leave home as often as they'd like?
Some people in our groups do invite their neighbor and bring them with because they appreciate the programs. They know how important it is to get out. So there's some of that where people are helping each other get out and get to maybe an exercise program. I have a lot of people come to me and say, I wish my neighbor would come to this program, and they've invited them, and maybe they're just not ready to come out for whatever reason. I know sometimes we've worked with the RSVP, like Chris has said, and the ADRC to try to figure out transportation for people. But yeah, that is a challenge.
Carissa, I know a lot of people are concerned about people getting enough nutrition. They get older, they don't cook as much. Talk about what's available in that regard.
Yeah, the nutrition program has two specific services. One is a congregate dining program where we have dining open at various community centers in the county. So Community Connection Center, the Onalaska Community Center, Home and Community Center, and we just opened one as of Monday at the Southside Neighborhood Center. So really great opportunity for folks to come to the meal site, engage, have conversation and socialize, but then also get a nutritious meal.
Do they have to sign up for that?
So we do require a reservation at least 24 hours in advance. That
Okay.
just helps us prepare enough food. But the great thing about that program is it is funded through the Older American Act program. So it is a suggested donation. So we never turn anyone away for their inability to pay. But we do suggest $4 per meal. So really reasonable. And again, a good nutritious meal with socialization. When it is offered at some of these community center sites, the bonus is that there's programming then that happens before and after the meal. So we've seen it be a really great win-win when it comes to people coming in to eat, but then also staying for programming. So growth and participation on all ends of programming. With that then is also a home delivered meal program for those that are unable to leave their home. And again, we talked about that a little bit earlier, but also another great program. With that though, I think volunteering is also one of those things that helps people stay connected. And so with our nutrition program, we are always looking for volunteers. We do have a lot of newly retired, or even in some cases, younger adults, kind of all ages who do volunteer, whether they're working at the congregate meal site or delivering meals. It's always needed, and it is that opportunity for people to stay connected and remain active. But not only does the ADRC offer volunteering, many other organizations do in our community too. So again, it's just another opportunity for someone to stay connected and be active.
So, among the many reasons that somebody might reach out to the ADRC of La Crosse County or their own local ADRC, would be the opportunity to volunteer to be part of one of these programs.
Yes, definitely.
Amy Brzezinka with the City of La Crosse, tell me about if people want to reach out to Parks and Rec, how can they go about doing that? And I know there's a website, but also let's give a phone number too in case somebody isn't as adept at remembering websites.
They could call the Black River Beach Neighborhood Center at 608-789-8640. or our Community Connections Center at 608-519-2088. And we'd be happy to get them on a mailing list and help them find our information.
And the website is cityoflacrosse.org/parks, if I remember correctly, right?
That's correct.
Carissa, tell me about ADRC. How can people reach you? You said you're in the county Health and Human Services building, and people know where that is, kind of close to, it's kind of downtown. Talk about how they can reach you if they're not planning to stop in right away.
Yeah, in addition to popping in, they can call us. So we're at 608-785-5700. They can call us Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30. We have staff who are available to answer the phone, as well as if someone did come in for a walk-in. We also then have a website that you could take a look at, which is lacrossecounty.org/ADRC. We also receive emails from time to time. So it would be ADRC@lacrossecounty.org. And I also want to do a shout out to our Senior Life newspaper. So a lot of these activities that we've been talking about today are located in our monthly newspaper publication. It's a free publication that goes out to individuals within the county. So if they're interested in signing up for that, they could give us a call and they could be added to our mailing list, or that's also available on our website.
And they should, in that instance, ask to be subscribed to the Senior Life newspaper.
Correct. Yep.
Wonderful. Thank you. Lee Lorenz from Home Safety Innovations. How can people get in touch with you?
They can send us an email. Our email address is actually our business name. So homesafetyinnovations@gmail.com. Our web address is the same thing, www.homesafetyinnovations.com. And it has a contact us link on there as well. Our phone number is 920-379-4439.
I really appreciate everybody being here today and giving this information for people. And I know it can be a real challenging time when you start to notice life being a little bit different. But hopefully, as communities, we're all out there to help each other and to point everybody in the right direction so they know where to go. And I'd just like to repeat, you know, from earlier. Your community, if you don't live right in La Crosse, your community probably has something like an ADRC or something like some of the senior programs that we've been talking to. So don't be afraid to ask about that. Call the ADRC in your area or call City Hall where you live and ask what resources are available for aging adults. Amy Brzezinka, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much. This is great.
Lee Lorenz from Home Safety Innovations, I appreciate your time today.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Carissa Pagel-Smith from ADRC of La Crosse County, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
There are several opportunities to hear Newsmakers each week. Of course, you can catch us Friday mornings at 10 on the Ideas Network 90.3. We're on Friday night at 7 on NPR News and Music 88.9. And we're always online at WPR.org/newsmakers. That's WPR.org/newsmakers. Our program continues after this break. We've talked about different places where seniors can go and relax and do a thing or two, meet others in their communities. And we'll be talking to someone who helps run one of those centers here in La Crosse later in today's program. It's coming up next. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio, it's Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in La Crosse. We're talking about older adults and the resources available for them today on Newsmakers. And we've heard from the City of La Crosse Parks and Rec Department. We've heard from the ADRC of La Crosse County. And we've heard from a company that helps older people stay in their homes a little bit longer when they can still live at home and get around. They just might need a little help Little help, easier time getting around in the kitchen or in the bathroom or whatever else, stairs, those kinds of things. Now we're heading to the Harry J. Olson Senior Center in North La Crosse. I went there to talk to Erin Goggin, who's the executive director. She's been there for about a year now and has helped the organization in its transition from a city-owned facility into a facility that is run by a separate nonprofit board now and owned by that nonprofit board. She talked about a lot of the things that the Senior Center is doing and programs that they have available for residents of North La Crosse and beyond.
The Harry G. Olson Center, Senior Center is a place that offers community, it offers activity, and it offers connectivity. And like you said, there are different, as in anybody's life, there's different stages of being a senior. Like, let's say you're lucky enough to be able to retire early at, say, 62, and you can still ride your bike, go hiking, do all sorts of great mobile active things. But then you move on to, like, say, your 70s, and you start losing a little bit of mobility. Maybe you've lost your spouse. Maybe you're even losing some of your cognitive ability. There needs to be a place where you go that does not judge that, but welcomes that and embraces that, and that's Harry G. Olson Senior Center. You can play cards here, you can play, you can do Strong Seniors, Tai Chi, there's dances, there's bridge, and then there's just conversation. There's just drop on in, come and talk to us, we're happy to talk to you.
So how does it work from a center point of view? Is it like just anybody of a particular age in the community just comes in, or is it a membership-based organization?
We do have a membership, and it's $50 a year. But if you can't afford a membership, we'll never turn anybody away. And if you're not 55 or older and you still want to come and play cards with us or hang around with us, we're not going to turn you away. We are, again, a community of people on the north side of La Crosse who welcome everybody. And we want you to come in and just see what we have to offer. You know, you're looking for a book or a puzzle or a place to watch a TV show, or, you know, we're here. We have it. And then just lately, it's funny, we have these oversized badminton rackets. Well, all right, a badminton tournament has broken out at the Harry G. Olson Senior Center. You know, it's just fun because we're fun. You know what I mean? It's not a place you come and, you know, it's boring and stupid. You know, we look for ways to laugh and to enrich ourselves.
This is, we talked a little bit before our interview started, and this was kind of a new career for you and a bit unexpected. Give me the sort of 30,000 foot view picture of how you got involved in the Senior Center.
Well, I had worked in retail for most of my career, and then when I thought I was going to early retire, I had heard that Harry J. was struggling with a few things, and I thought I'd come to make a donation. Well, through that asking about the donation, I was offered a job, which I turned down at first, and then, you know, through some different this and that, I took the job, and I found that I absolutely adore it. I love being here. There's not a day I don't look forward to coming, and there's not a person I don't look forward to talking to.
What's been the most fun thing that you've been able to be involved in?
I think the most fun is these big like events that we try to do. We had a National Hot Dog Day back last July, which we'll be having again this July, but we have these Wednesday for Lunch, where we've been having around 100 people at a time come for a lunch, a simple lunch, you know, like, you know, Sloppy Joe's or soup and salad, or next month it's hot beef. But it's just a place where everybody can talk. And I'm telling you, there are some personalities here that will make you cry with laughter. They are so darn funny. There are other people that are very learned and can teach you things that you don't know or may have forgotten. And then there's other people that just want to come in and share a story about their grandkids or their dog or whatever. And it's all fun. It's all fun to listen to.
There's been some transition recently at the center. It's now a nonprofit organization runs it with a board and everything. And some of the coverage of that transition has caused some notoriety. And I'm interested to know, like, how that exposure has affected programming and membership and sort of how you think it's going to impact the future of the center.
Well, the confusion in the past years has made people wonder, is the Harry Gilson Center still there? Is it open? And with all the publicity, all the talking about it, Harry J. Olson is open, and there's been an uptick in walk-in traffic. There's been an uptick in new members. There's been an uptick in donations. It's just been an uptick in interest in general, and we're heartened by it, and we're ready to just keep growing the center. If somebody wants a new program, we've had people that want to start Bunko. Well, let's start Bunko. We're going to start a chair yoga class, things like that. We have a nice building that can house a lot of different activities at once, and we just want to fill the building with activities and events that stimulate seniors' minds but enrich their lives as well.
There's often either perceived or real almost a cultural distinction between the north part of La Crosse and the south part of La Crosse. I'm wondering how important is it to you, to your members, that Harry J. Olson is such a long-standing north side institution?
I think that the Harry J. Olson Senior Center being on the north side is important to Northsiders, but the seniors are just happy that they have a place to go, whether it be on the north side or the south side. But make no mistake about it, this is a gem on the north side of La Crosse. It's a building that began as a clubhouse for the railroads. We sit right next to the Burlington Northern Yard. So we have, we have a close connection to the railroads. It's been a part of the Harry Gilson Senior Center. It's been a part of the north side since the 1960s, and it's been in this building since 1975. And I think a lot of La Crosse doesn't know is this building was purchased by the city of La Crosse to house the Harry J. Olson Senior Center. That's gotten a lot lost in translation a lot these last few years. But we think that it's just imperative to keep this building here, to be a good neighbor on the north side, and to provide senior services for the north side, for La Crosse, and for the surrounding communities.
Talk about how important it is, the services that you are able to provide to the members who come here. What does that add to their quality of life and their ability to stay active and socially relevant in the community as they go out of career mode into retirement mode into even older than that?
Well, I can give you more answer that question by example. We were a lot of us were sitting in here one afternoon as the group was getting ready to play cards, and a gentleman walked in and from the north side, and I recognized him as a north side resident. And how are you? How's your wife? His wife had passed away within the last couple weeks. And he looked at me in the eye and he goes, I just need a place to go. And it just breaks your heart. And until I watch the seniors just embrace him, and because they've been where he's been, they know what he's going through. Though his journey's unique, they still are familiar with it. And he has been coming, his name is Bob, he has been coming every week for cards, and he's come for the lunches, and he's found a place here. Another gentleman lost his wife recently, and he has been he drops in almost every day, because he just wants somewhere to go. He's not a big talker, but he likes to listen. He likes to listen to what's going on or get involved. If he has a question, he throws out the question and then waits for everybody to answer it. We have another lady who's just turned 98 today, and she's been coming for over 20 years, and she doesn't know what she would do without Harry J. This is the only place she goes during the week. She doesn't feel safe in a lot of other places, but she knows she's safe here. And that's just nice to know. It's just a good feeling to have. And as the executive director, I'm like, oh, that's so great. But it's not me. It's the members who are providing the service. They provide the community, and they provide the friendship for each other.
So as you're trying to figure out how the organization moves forward over the next couple of years, what challenges do you see ahead?
The biggest thing will be financially, because again, we're grateful for all the support that the city did give us. They paid for, you know, the heating and the electricity, lawn and snow removal, and now that all comes down back to us. So we are a little anxious about, you know, that moving forward with the financial responsibility. We're confident we'll figure it out, but again, confident and anxiety can often go together. And the work of the senior center, like I say, has been going on since 1975 successfully, and I don't see a large big change to that. We the only configuration or is just trying to make it easier for them to get here. That's what we work on. How do we make it easier and more fun to come?
You've already talked about how some members have stepped up to help meet major needs. How refreshing has that been as a person in a new kind of job, like you've never been an executive director of an organization like this before, to throw out needs like, oh, how am I going to cut the grass? Or, oh my goodness, we need a new roof, and see people step up to do that?
It has been amazingly gratifying and heartwarming. I mean, I get, like, even when you're, just when you talked about it, I get goosebumps, because a new roof, as a homeowner knows, is expensive. But a new roof for a building this size, you know, times it by three. And a member has stepped up privately to fund that whole project. And then another member, a longtime member, we were sitting around talking about how to cut expenses and whatever. And I talked about, you know, geez, I'm going to have 10 people come, and we'll all take swipes at the grass with the push mower. Well, it wasn't even 4 hours later, he called me back, and he's like, I'm going to donate a brand new riding lawnmower. And I'm like, holy cats, I'm going to have to learn how to ride a lawnmower. But I'm willing to do it. And it's just so cool. I asked for plates, you know, paper plates, cups, napkins, soda, and magically it's there. A roll of stamps, boom, it's here. I asked for donations for our Wednesdays for lunch. It's here. You know, I'm just working with such a great group who wants to see this place succeed. No one person can do it all, but as a group, they can do it. And they've been successful at it for years.
As the saying goes, many hands make light work. So speaking of those many hands, how many members are here on a weekly or maybe a monthly basis?
Well, thank you for asking me that, because we have a membership list of 250, and it's been in the media, and some people have stated that most of the people are from out of La Crosse. Nope, that's not true. It's 4 La Crosse residents to every one from outside of La Crosse. So the people that come here are La Crosse taxpayers. But the people from out of this area that come here also spend a lot of money in La Crosse, because after they leave here, they go to McDonald's for lunch, or they get their gas here, or they go to, you know, the grocery stores around here. But they spend money in La Crosse. So again, Harry J. Olson is a very good resource for the city of La Crosse.
And as our time wraps up, if people want to learn more about the programs that you're doing, or how they can get involved as volunteers or in other ways, what's the best way to get in touch? I mean, are there days that it's good for them to just stop by and see something, or website, or what?
The best way is to drop in Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. till 12:30 p.m. That way I'm here. You can come and see me. You can talk to members that are here that drop in and out. We can give you a tour of the building. We can go over what activities go on, what you're interested in. Other than that, you can go to our Facebook page at Harry J. Olson, our website, harryjolsonseniorcenter.org, or you can call us at 608-781-2122. I'm always happy to talk to you.
Now, people in our audience are usually driving when this is on, and they might not remember all that. So you gave a phone number and a website. Why don't you repeat those?
Okay, I'd be happy to, and please pull over and write this down so you don't get in a car crash. Our phone number is 608-781-2122. 2122. And our website is harryjolsonseniorcenter.org. And the phone number and everything else is on the website. So we'd we'd love to have you just stop by. And we're located at 1607 North Street, La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Aaron Goggin is the executive director of the Harry J. Olson Senior Center. Aaron, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's been a fun chatting with you.
We've been talking about resources available for older adults in our community today on Newsmakers. If you missed part of the program, you can hear it again by going to wpr.org/newsmakers. Of course, there are several opportunities to hear our show each week. We're on Fridays at 10 on the Ideas Network 90.3. We're on Friday night at 7 on NPR News and Music 88.9. And of course, we're always online at wpr.org/newsmakers, as I said. If you'd like to reach out to our program, let us know what we should be covering. If you've got a question you want us to find an answer to, email me, newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. Our producer is Kate Spranger. I'm Ezra Wall, and I hope you join us next week for another Newsmakers, right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.